All right, welcome back here in the zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be heading to St. Joe any second. Andy Reid is apparently on his way over to the tent to speak with the media today. Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Mike Dana, and Elijah Lee will talk today. Orlando Brown showed up to camp today, going through some physicals and having to pass the conditioning tests and all of that stuff before he can go out and practice. Did not practice today. Full padded practice. Here's Andy Reid.
I practiced today. Had a good day. First day in pads. Warm. A little shorter practice by league rules, and so part of the ramp-up period now for pads, same type of thing that we had when the guys first came in without the pads. But they worked their tail off, and I thought it was good competition between both sides. That time, Drew.
Patrick Mahomes seemed to get tangled up there towards the end of practice.
He's okay. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah.
So you stepped on him?
Yeah. Offensive lineman got pushed back. So,
help the defense when they can touch people and have some pads on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of the game. So that's, you play in these things, so you get used to them, and that's what this is all about. We try to do it where guys are off the ground and they can get with the work in and keep people healthy, you know, but still play hard and get ourselves into football shape for a game.
Coach, there, Evans reports Orlando may show up today. What's the ramp-up period like, if that is the case, and how many days until they can really get going?
Yeah, so, I mean, you have the right to, I guess, throw him back in and go. When he gets here, we'll talk to him and see where he's at, and then, be smart with it. So
he's not here at St. Joe?
Yeah. I haven't seen him.
Any indication that he will be here soon or this week or anything?
There's a good chance. When the fish is in the boat, then I'll let you know.
How important is it for the fish to be in the boat and to get here with enough time to get ready for the preseason?
Yeah, well, you said it. I mean, that's what it is. It's hard to mimic the game speed and putting the uniform on and so on, helmet and pads on when you're doing stuff on your own. So you got to go through that to get yourself right, and he understands that.
In the bigger picture, what's he missed so far? 5 days of camp, one in pads. What in the bigger picture?
Yeah, he'll just have to catch up on the new stuff. Yeah, and then the conditioning part, right? So,
Coach, you mentioned the conditioning part. How tough is it for the first day of pads? As far as I saw a lot of guys with one knee on the ground.
Well, it was warm and. It's tough. I mean, you're adding another layer on, plus the crown that they have to wear, which isn't real cool. And so you add that with the heat and the elements. It's, you got to push yourself through. And we're smart with the water. We give the guys water breaks, in the long drive period, so they can keep the liquids in.
Frank Clark had some interesting comments. He talked about the conversation he had with you at the end of the season. He said he did a lot to change his body, stop drinking alcohol, cut out the red meat. How much have you seen from him? He said he's lighter, 12 pounds lighter than last year. What difference have you seen in him so far in camp?
Yeah, well, he's moving fast. When we did our conditioning test, he was right up there in front on that. And you see him out here, and he's, he's got good endurance going right now. So he came back in good shape.
Andy, that last part, when you guys go long, 15, 16 plays, I know you appreciate that, but
nine
the players are going up.
Nine plays today, yeah.
Yeah, but how much do the players appreciate that? I know it's got to be hard for them, but how much do you appreciate watching them go through that?
Yeah, so we ramp up to a higher number and give them a little bit more either every day or every other day. But they don't – I'm not going to tell you they appreciate it when they're doing it, but they know down the road it'll help them. And you've heard comments from guys about that when we've gotten into games and you've had a 12-play drive and you got to push through it. This gives them a foundation that they go, I've been there. I can do this. So,
Coach, later this week, Dick Vermeil is going to be inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
From preparing against a Dick Vermeil team, what stands out to you?
Yeah, well-coached and tough, you can't survive in this thing like he did for all those years without that. And then the fact that he took a hiatus in between, not really a hiatus, I mean, he was working his tail off, but the fact that he got out of the game and was able to come back in and be as productive and continue to grow just says volumes for him. That's why he's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, phenomenal mentor too. He's a great human being.
Last two, we'll go in the back. Coach Frank said, Frank Clark said that he feels like you guys have always kept it real with each other. Talk to us about your personal relationship with him, and you feel like he's someone that you've been able to always just give it to straightforward, not have to sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, that's the way he wants it. You know, he wants you to shoot him straight. So we've always had that, even when he came up and visited out of college. You know, he spent some time kind of close to where I grew up, and, you know, we know some similar some of the same people, and you know, it's shoot him straight.
Speaking of relationships, I guess, we're going to talk to Travis today. You guys will be forever linked. It's one of your first picks here in Kansas City. You've known his family for a long time. I know you're close with a lot of your players, but maybe explain how closer you are, how different it is with your relationship with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, I mean, he came here when we came here, and I knew him before that because of his brother. Great family. He was a little wilder than his brother, right? A little wilder. But I knew that. So when Doris ended up drafting him, you know, he and I had our little conflicts, but he's a great kid. He's got a big heart. He always has had that. And he loves to play the game, and he's grown up just a ton. I'm proud of him the way he handles himself today. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
good.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. There is Andy Reid, Dick Vermeil going into the Hall of Fame later on this week, and starting off the press conference talking about Orlando Brown. And is he there? He hasn't talked to him. He'll see when he's going to practice, when he's ready to go, and then eventually just cutting it off and saying, when the fish is in the boat, I'll let you know. Of course, I like Stephen St. John saying, well, then how important is it for the fish to be in the boat and, you know, get rolling? And he said, you know, it's hard to mimic game speed, pads, and things like that when you're doing it on your own. So obviously it is important for him to be there. And then Frank Clark moving fast, the conditioning drills and tests, he was at the front. So good to know. Good to know dropping that 12 to 15 pounds in the offseason has worked out well for him. And the heart-to-heart that he and Andy Reid had, where apparently Andy Reid told him, like, WTF, man. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep playing, you better figure some stuff out. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, I know we'll probably hear that audio later, but if you missed it over the weekend, it's really interesting. From Frank Clark about that conversation. It is a very interesting place for a player to be late in a big contract. His second, you know, his first big contract, his second team, kind of at that point in your career where you're either about to be a guy who maybe gets a call from a team right around when they're about to kickstart training camp, as opposed to being a guy who was brought in as the shining star of a pre-draft class, a first-round pick, a huge contract. And even Clark talked about, like, both of them being from the L.A. area, being Clark and Andy Reid. Like, they're going to keep it real with each other. And even today, like, Andy Reid uses the word endurance. I don't think that's by accident. I think that Andy Reid knows that Frank Clark has not had that endurance that he had in Seattle during his time in Kansas City, in part because of things like real medical issues, pinched nerves, and digestive stuff. Not to make excuses or to say, hey, this is okay, but there has just been a lot around Frank Clark. Some of it within his control and some of it out of his control. I think it's an interesting point in his career right now.
Travis Kelce.
Today, what's the importance of that he's going to be here ready to work and not hold out?
I mean, that's one of our leaders right there. And everybody in this building loves Big O. And hopefully we get him here and get him acclimated as soon as possible. We know it's definitely been a little bit different of a just locker room. You know, it's such a big dude, such a big personality, man. Brings a lot of life to the group, so we'll be happy to have him back.
Practice today. I mean, pads on, you know, what's that feeling like? And get everybody acclimated to the season.
Pads on, sun was out. It was a dog day, man, but we got through it. We got a lot of work in, and we got a lot of things to learn from, and that's every day in training camp. Once you set the tempo of how we work here, Coach Reed's done it through OTAs, and we've had a lot of guys, especially the newer faces here in OTAs and throughout training camp. Everybody's just kind of hit the ground running. And right now we're finding ways to keep getting better every day.
Several new receiving targets. I just want to know what are your observations of the group?
I love what I'm seeing, man. I love what I'm seeing because they're all working their tail off. And we're having success with getting in sync with the quarterbacks. And it's not just the new faces like Quez and Juju, it's everybody in the second and third groups that are coming along, and same in the tight end room. You just see guys keep elevating their game, and it's just been fun to watch.
Given you've been with him since he's been here, Travis Patrick, what's it been like from your vantage point? Kind of already knowing exactly what he wants to see relay that information to the receivers?
Yeah, I mean, I can help relay it to them. Same thing with this offense and me being here for my 10th year with Coach Reed. You know, there's certain things that just stand true in this offense. And obviously, it's grown since 1-5 has been here. But I think it's a little bit more friendly of an offense than a lot of guys have been in. And with that being said, you know, that means we need to get those reps so guys can kind of, I don't want to say bend the rules, but feel the nuances of what this offense can bring to their game.
When you call it a friendlier offense, can you elaborate on that, what you mean by that?
It's not as much paper lines and there's not as much, you know, rules. It's more of a discussion. Coach Reed's, you know, done a great job of listening to players as well as, you know, he's got 51%, so he knows how this thing, you know, works best. And so keeping a good, you know, control over that and being able to give us as many routes from everywhere on the field, I mean, that's just an advantage. A lot of guys don't get the opportunity to be inside, outside, in the backfield in other offenses, and that's what you get here.
Prior to the quad stuff, looked like the same guy to you?
100%, and he's getting better. You know, as he grows and gets his body back into you know, the endurance that you need as a football player, as we all do, you know, he just tweaked something the other day, I believe, and he'll be back out there working his tail off, as we know Jody does. And mentally, just being more familiar with this offense, how to run certain routes versus certain defenses, you know, that's the biggest thing, getting all the reps that you can so that you feel comfortable doing that.
You stuck around for 10 years with Reed. What's that journey been like, and I guess what's left?
It's a blast, man. I don't see myself going anywhere else, man. He makes the game fun. He makes the game easy on a lot of us. And on top of that, we know he's giving it his all. You know, I joke about it all the time. I never see his car move from the parking lot up at Arrowhead, but definitely not here, man. He's doing everything he can to set us up for success, and I'm just very appreciative of that.
He says you're wilder, always been wilder than your brother. Is that the case?
My brother has way more of a temper tantrum, or what is it, anger management, than I do. I like to enjoy myself a little bit more, but yeah, we both have different wild sides to us.
Speaking of your brother, you guys are wearing the new Guardian deal. Did you see he put the bubble wrap on his Guardian cap?
Yeah, you guys thought I was a prick. He's the stubborn one, man. But he's funny, man. It was a funny, you know. Funny gesture. I think that the Guardian caps are silly. I think we're just out here wearing mushroom helmets that are doing nothing but just adding weight to our heads. So hopefully we can get rid of those so we don't have to wear them again.
I talked to Clyde last week and asked him about who he leans on the most. And he said he leans on you. You guys live by each other. He's always at your house.
That's my guy, man.
How is that mentorship going between you guys?
Oh, man, it's just a brotherhood. You know, Clyde's been nothing but great people to anybody that he's ever talked to. You know, he's one of those guys that just gives off good energy. And he wants to work and he wants to be great. And who doesn't want that as their teammate right there, man? And I, you know, everybody's going through stuff on the field, off the field. And we've worked on a lot of mental health stuff here in the building. And, you know, I've tried to get back to the University of Cincinnati and even talk more about this back home where I'm from. You know, it's a big thing for men to be able to talk and, you know, speak their feelings, especially to the ones next to them, and, you know, be vulnerable in those moments. But that's what being a brother is. That's what mentorship is. That's what, you know, being a good teammate is in my book.
Players doing that, you know, just express themselves.
I try and have it, you know, ooze out of people, you know, be that friendly force, and, you know, hopefully everybody else picks up on it. But I think it's more of a discussion now than it has been before.
Because of your brother, I know that, you know, you probably watch centers around the league as well. In that frame of reference, just how does Creed maybe stack up with Jason, and what are maybe some of the things Jason has said about Creed?
I'll tell you what, they're both stone cold, man. That dude, Creed, he's a war dog, man, and doesn't matter what the situation is, you know you're going to get him standing in the front holding his ground. And that's the type of leader you want up front, man. Guy that isn't scared of a damn thing and can go and bang with the best of them. And sure enough, Creed's done an awesome job just in his first year, and I can't wait to see what he does this year.
Young players, the linebackers, the secondary going up against, you know, McDuffie, you've got Bolton and Gay, and it seems like an upgrade in athleticism. How much of a difference has it been going up against those guys in camp so far as opposed to past years?
Well, I mean, Spags' defense isn't easy to learn, so they're getting challenged both mentally and physically right now, especially with the type of talent that we have on the offensive side of the ball. So everybody's working, and everybody's playing fast and physical, and that's what you need. You just need confident football players out there, and the more that they get acclimated with this defense, no doubt the Spags is going to have these guys flying around playing great football. And we got some dogs up front, man. We got some good guys up in the front line, especially, you know, Carl Lofagus getting in there, throwing his heavy hands around. And it's just been it's been cool, man. It'll be good when we get Carlos in here and kind of get the whole bunch together.
lot of the new tight ends getting contracts around the league and everything. You move some money around to get you maybe a little bit more money early in your deal. How important was it to you, the Chiefs, that they were made that gesture?
I think it's just another reason why I love being here, man. I've done everything I can to do things the right way, both on the field and in the community, and I'm going to continue to do that. They know that, and they know what type of player they're going to get, what type of leader they're going to get in this building and also in the community. And I think that, I'm just extremely appreciative of it, that they would even think about it or try and put something together. And I just, just another reason why I go out here and play my tail off for this city and this organization.
It's rare now, but is that a goal for you? Do you think about playing your entire career and being only a member of the Chiefs?
I don't plan on playing anywhere else, brother. Hope the Chiefs have that in mind, too.
10 years in, do you still look forward to first day of pads just like you did when you were younger?
I feel like I always look forward to the first day here because it just starts the new journey. Pads are a part of that. It's not really, a groundbreaking day for me. I've already been working my tail off, playing physical and things like that. You just throw the pads on to get a little bit more into the run game and things like that. So it's just, for me, it's just another step in the process. I'm excited to be out here because I can focus on nothing but football. Don't got to worry about anything else going on in the world.
Okay, thanks, Travis.
All right, there's Travis Kelce out at training camp. We'll hear from Elijah Lee and also Michael Dana. And talking about Orlando being a leader and getting him in there, loves the personality, his role in relaying different things to different players, and then saying that the offense for Andy Reid is a little more friendly now. We'll figure out what that is. Apparently somebody is at the podium right now.
Either Elijah Lee or Mike Dana, I bet.
Either Elijah or Mike Dana. They're a defensive player at the podium right now.
I'm thankful. It's a blessing, and I got to take advantage of the opportunity.
Are there certain players that you looked up to? Did you have a favorite player when you were growing up in Kansas City in the Chiefs?
Jamal Charles, he was a home run hitter. That's somebody you're excited to watch the games. But being a defensive guy, Derek Johnson. And he went to Texas, played in the Big 12. I played in the Big 12. So, watching a backer like that and all the amazing things he did, that was kind of crazy. And then watching Tom Bailey and Justin Houston coming off the edge, that was a special defense.
Been in the league a little while. You have some young guys that you're next to, Willie Gay and Nick Bolton. How much are they leaning on you to pick your brain?
They ask me questions a lot, but at the same time, I tell them I'm new into the system, so I need to rely on you guys too. And if we're all on the same page, we can never be wrong. So even if we're wrong and we're all doing the same thing, it all looks good together.
System. This is kind of a complex scheme, but if I'm not mistaken, you've been working with the ones since OTAs.
Yeah.
How surprising is it if you're able to grasp what Spags wants you to do and you are emerging as that guy?
As a vet, you take advantage of every opportunity. There's no excuses whenever you're a vet. And, that's kind of what you harp on to the younger guys. Like, it's time to catch up. Like, it doesn't matter what year you are. If they draft you, they're bringing you into play, even undrafted, bringing you through free agency. You just got to take advantage of it, put extra hours in and ask questions. Like, for me, I ask a lot of questions. And it's not that I don't know, it's just reassurance that I know.
Throughout your career, you've been mostly special teams, but now it looks like you had that opportunity to actually open the season as a starter. How much do you relish that opportunity?
You relish it. I don't know how this thing's going to shake out. I'm just going to put my best foot forward. And at the same time, some people say I've just always been special teams, but at the same time, early on in my career, I was relied on to play early. So I know what it takes to be in that position to take advantage of the role, however it shakes out. Wherever I can help, I'm going to put my best foot forward.
Being from Kansas City, was it always maybe somewhere where you at least want to spend a season or two of your career?
Growing through this process, you hope that you can play for the home team. But at the end of the day, I'm just thankful for a job. And I'm thankful to keep prolonging my career and keep stacking years. That's what it's all about. Some people joke around it's a not for long league, and to stay around this long, it's a blessing.
What's the right time for this opportunity?
I think I was able to mature. Being out on my own, young, I left college at 20, and I'm only 26, so I'm still young in the real world, but in football, I'm kind of old because I'm in my sixth year. So now I've had the opportunity to grow up, be able to say no from far away. So now that I'm home, it's like, if you didn't support me while I was on the road, it's hand in hand. Whenever I'm home, I appreciate the support, but the people that was there for me, I hold that to a high standard.
How much of that appreciation of special teams come from your time in Kansas State? Because very few colleges, focus on special teams the way that the Wildcats do.
That's an advantage for me. Coach Schneider, great coach, Hall of Fame coach. You take advantage of every opportunity. Doesn't matter if you're starting, special teams, however you do it, you put your best foot forward. And I'm a strong believer, your work on special teams put you in position to play on defense or offense.
You start to get a lot more requests now that you're back home all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yep. People pulling me every which way, and I'm like, man, I got to take advantage of this opportunity. I got to go get this job first. This isn't, you know, handed to me. I'm a guy trying to earn my spot, and I do that each and every way. So whichever my role is, you know, I'm going to take advantage of that, and then we can talk after that. But right now it's all about the work.
Elijah, Travis just a minute ago was talking a little bit about, you know, the importance of speaking on mental health and highlighting that. I know when Mosaic approached you to be kind of their player spokesperson, mental health, highlighting that was a big motivation for you. I guess, why was it important for you to kind of get with Mosaic and kind of highlight the aspects of mental health in sports?
For me, mental health is big. You know, as a child, not too many people know, I went to 15 different schools. So your mental health can be all over the place. You know, as a kid, you're always asking why and trying to understand. But once you grow up and learn the right nutrition, the right mental health can take you further. You know, but those free lunches at school aren't always the best. So now you're going through a whole day kind of groggy as a kid. But whenever you eat the right things, have the right mental health, stay positive, I could do this and not take a no for an answer. You know, that could put you, the sky's the limit.
Was St. Joe Central. What does it mean? Just being back in St. Joseph, what kind of memories does that bring?
It brings back a lot of memories because in high school, my freshman, sophomore year, we used to come over here and I was a towel boy, give the water. So, you know, I got to, you know, hand over a towel to like Tom Bali, Justin Houston. I'm like, wow, like this is amazing. So now to come back to be in this position, be able to give back, help in the community wherever I can, you know, this is a great opportunity.
Now, were some of those guys that you recognize there out there today when you were just talking about?
Yes, Neil Smith. I actually went to high school with. He has a son, I think, 2 years younger than me. And then my sister's best friends with the, one of his daughters. So, you know, that's a familiar face. Some of the guys growing up, I had family from Chicago, so I was a big Chicago fan. You know, they were rocking at that time, Peanut Tillman, Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, all those, Julius Peppers, all those guys. So, you know, growing up and trying to get familiar with it, you know, it's starting to come along.
Thanks, everyone.
Now you've had some time in the defense to learn a little bit more about it and everything. How do you feel like it suits you? What do you feel like this fact does that really suits your skill set?
Run around, fly around. We call it an attitude defense. So we're going to bring our attitude. That's our playing style. We take advantage of every opportunity. We're coming to work hard. There's no individuals. We work as a unit.
There's Elijah Lee, local product, Blue Springs, Kansas State, and now with the Kansas City Chiefs, his hometown team, and a team that he watched growing up and in high school and things like that, and part of the linebacking core overhaul and bringing in Jermaine Carter and Elijah Lee and Leo Chenal and some good stuff there from Elijah Lee. I want to get into that, but here's Mike Dana.
Are there specific things?
Oh, of course. You know, making the game slow down, man. So, you know, in the sense of pre-snap keys, O-line indicators, you know, working my eyes. Then from fundamentals and technique, I did a lot of pass rushing, man, a lot of flipping the hips, you know, a lot of power, working a lot of speed. It's a combo of things. And also from the run standpoint, man, you know, anchoring down, being able to hutch your feet, you know, play the box, read blocks, you know. But the biggest thing for me was just, you know, reading pre-snap keys, you know, so I can get a jump on the snap or, you know, an advantage when it comes to snap of the ball.
Has Coach Joe brought to the room that maybe is a little bit different than the previous season?
Coach Joe brought a lot of grit, man. He's bringing it out a lot of us, man. And fundamentals and technique, man, he's a master of what he do, and he coached a lot of great guys, man. So just being able to have him as our coach is, you know, a great thing for our D-line room, man. He's probably one of the best in the game, man. Our D-line is doing great right now. A lot of improvement.
Frank Clark talked about some changes he made over the offseason. What have you seen differently from him in camp, whether it's physically or mentally? Does he seem more focused, or what have you seen?
Yeah, he's locked in, man. This is probably the most locked in I've ever seen him. You know, he's, you know, getting everybody integrated, communicating, so the whole D-line's working together. And I think that's the biggest thing, having chemistry on the D-line so you can have success and be able to, you know, push guys and stuff. I think he's doing a great job doing that, and he's being a leader, man. So we look up to him, and, you know, he's a great football player.
Do you think you noticed today, Mike, the pass being on, just finally able to, like,
Duke football as close as you can to the real thing?
Yeah, it was great, man. You know, putting a pass back on was great. You know, everybody's competing. Everybody's, you know, trying to win a job. And it's a lot of grit out here. So we put the pads on. It was a lot of banging. And, you know, I'm looking forward to coming back tomorrow.
You put an emphasis on trying to get better at the pass rush. They draft Karlaftis. They've added Carlos. He'll be out here. Frank lost weight and changed his diet. And all the work you put in, what's the upside from the edge rushers? Because obviously that's something that the team wanted to get better at in the offseason.
Well, listen, we're all trying to have a career year. We're all trying to do what we got to do. And when it comes time for that, man, all we can do is just rush the passer and listen to what Coach Joe taught us, apply it to the game, and come out here and work on it every single day. And it's about getting better every day, man. We got to work on our craft and do what we got to do to make our pass rush better and have that chemistry so, you know, when it comes time in the season, we can be rolling, man.
We get to see George out here, but how is he behind the scenes maybe acclimated to the room with
you guys? Oh, he's a great kid, man. You know, I got a lot of respect, a lot of love for the Rook, man. He came, man. He understood the playbook. He's a true student of the game, man. I see he want to learn. He works hard. He has a lot of heart and effort. So I like playing with him, man. You know, he brings the young dog out of me. So it felt like it's just great playing with all them guys, man. I'm excited to get Dunlop in the room, learn from him, man. All the additions, we're looking forward to, you know, seeing what we all can do together. Absolutely, man. Having a career year, 5+, 6+ sacks, having, you know, being a dominant force for the D-line, you know, for the defense. I think everybody this year is expecting to have a career year because how much work we put in through the spring, through the this summer camp. So everybody's having high expectations. And like I said, this is the time we get better and stack them days so we can have them career years and do what we got to do.
Mike, what has Joe Cullen been like as the new D-line coach for you? What's experience like to have?
Oh, it's great, man. He makes us work hard. He asks us how hard we can play, man. So, you know, that brings a lot of effort. You know, he brings a lot of grit to us. And it's a lot of attitude, man. A lot of dudes is playing with a lot more intensity and a lot more physicality. And, you know, as a D-line, that's what we need.
Mike, I remember back when you were drafted saying that they like the idea of you from a versatility standpoint. Are there chances with Joe to maybe move inside to sort of, you know, have some spots where you can play versus just...
Oh, yeah, man. See, we was doing that in the spring. We got a little taste of that in the spring where I was doing a little 2-eye, 3-tech, you know, 5-tech, 6-tech. Dropping back, so you know, the more you can do, man. I'm just trying to do the best I can wherever the coach plugged me, you know, understand the playbook, understand what to do next to me is doing, you know, just in case he go down, I got to move there, so I got a good understanding. But all of that is great, man. You know, I just want to be use the best I can.
What are your thoughts on Karlaftis so far?
Oh, he's great, man. He's real physical, has a lot of effort in him. He got a dog in him that, you know, he keeps competing, keeps coming back every single play. So that's great to see from a young guy. And I'm excited to see, you know, about the preseason starting in the next 2 weeks or next week. So looking forward to see what he can do.
Two of the veteran leaders on the defensive side, Hitch and Matthew, moved on from last year. You got guys like Frank, Chris Jones, Nick Bolton stepping up, bringing Justin Reed. What's the leadership like on the defensive side of the football, trying to replace two veterans like you have to?
You know, we all just try to keep each other up, man. You know, where it's all about 11 guys on the field, and the individual leadership is showing through these days where it's tough and it's hard. You know, you got Willie back there, you got 9-5 in the middle. Everybody's vocal, everybody's trying to keep each other up. You know, it's a different year. You know, it's a lot of new additions, and we're looking to have that same fight, that same competitive spirit, if not more. Like I said, it's a lot of grit that's being brought to the table between the guys. So everybody's trying to make a point. Everybody's just trying to have that team chemistry and that bond, you know, just in case, like, you know, when things get rough, things get hard, we fall back on each other, you know, fall back on our leaders. And, you know, they keep us strong together.
Daniel?
Yeah, we talked to a couple of other guys about kind of the importance of talking about men's mental health. Do you feel like there's a stigma where men are kind of ashamed to talk about that because you're trying to be like a tough guy or anything like that? How important do you think it is that you and your teammates open up about that stuff and are willing to be right there?
Mental health is serious, man. It's a serious thing off the field. You know, a lot of guys try to flamingo it and just try to just leave it on the table and kind of act like we're men, we can just deal with things. But, you know, you fall back on your brother sometimes. You got to be able to talk to somebody and vent to somebody, you know. holding it in some isn't good for everybody. You know, I've tried myself to express more to my family, my friends. Some things on my chest with my teammates. I talk to them. You know, it's just about having communication and the chemistry to, you know, be able to be comfortable to have those conversations and to take that next step. So mental health is serious. So we take it very serious here. We got, you know, one of the best therapists in the game on our team, and Dr. T, and he's a great guy. So if anybody, you know, need it here, you guys can holler at him.
Any last questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there's Mike Dana, Elijah Lee, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, talking before that as well. So Mike Dana weighing in on the Chiefs' defensive line, some players there, leaders as well. And Frank Clark will take a timeout. We'll get into some stuff from Mike Dana, Elijah Lee, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid. A number of things to take away there. We'll talk about that here. Some more from Frank Clark from Saturday's press conference. Other things to get into as well. Orlando Brown reported to camp today. If you were just tuning in and did not know, Orlando Brown is there in St. Joe. And Deshaun Watson suspended for 6 games. The NFL has 3 days to respond in writing if they want to appeal that. I'm assuming that'll be the case.
They have released a statement just about a minute ago.
Okay.
No official word yet. Either side could appeal within 3 days.
True.
No appeal yet either direction.
But the NFLPA has said they will not appeal.
Correct.
Although Deshaun Watson's camp, according to Josina Anderson, is not happy about the 6-game suspension.
They should be thrilled about the 6-game suspension.
NFLPA came out and said they are not going to appeal before the decision was released, which you knew. Then they were like, cool. We feel good about this. So the NFLPA likes what the suspension was and felt like it wasn't over the top. And Deshaun Watson's camp is not on the same page. And we'll see if Roger Goodell is also not on the same page if the NFL decides to appeal, which means the appeal will go to then Roger Goodell to decide how long the suspension would be. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. All of that stuff to get into. We'll talk some baseball with Craig Brown, Mick Schaefer as well. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Hey, you're in the room all by yourself, dude.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
No, you're all right. That's okay.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got Craig Brown into the Fountains newsletter coming up at noon. We'll talk some Royals with him as the trade deadline coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock Central Time. If any of the Royals players get moved, the Atlanta Braves have made a move for an infielder. And they have also DFA'd Robinson Cano.
Bring him home.
The infielder, I don't remember the name. I just know that the Braves traded Trey Harris to the Nationals. So a name that those listening to The Zone will be familiar with. But Trey Harris, best of luck to him with the Nationals organization. As the Kansas City Chiefs up in St. Joe first padded practice today, Andy Reid was asked multiple times at the beginning of his press conference about Orlando Brown. His response of when the fish is in the boat, I'll let you know. But he is there in St. Joe going through conditioning, his physical test that he has to pass, all of those things before he can get out there on the field and play and participate. That was a part of Andy Reid's press conference, probably the one that one thing most people were interested in to hear what Andy Reid had to say. Travis Kelce. Kelce was interesting because he talked about the friendly offense from Andy Reid.
I love that.
And it kind of felt like he was saying, like, this is more friendly than in Andy Reid's offenses in the past, as opposed to, like, player friendly that, you know, because he did start talking about later on in the, you know, you can line up inside and outside. You got different roles. You got different things you can do. That sounds player friendly. But the way that he started it made it sound like this year was different than in years past. Did you get the same thing? Did I hear that correctly? Was he talking about just this year seems to be more or maybe easier, maybe more basic with the guys coming in?
I think he said that it's a friendlier offense than most of these guys have been in.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that's him opening that up to say, hey, if you're Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Juju Smith-Schuster, this might be the friendliest offense you've ever played in.
Yeah.
And I just started scribbling things down as he was talking there, because that has been something that he opened my eyes to a few years ago. I think it might have been before the Chiefs Titans AFC Championship game.
Okay.
It was in the bigger press room when they were doing press conferences. And it was the first time that I, at least that I remember, where Travis Kelce talked on the record about changing a play on the fly, which has since become kind of a phenomenon. And then it happens against the Bills where you have the clip of the audio on the sidelines. That's something I asked you guys, played it back on the Zone before I was officially here with you. But whenever I talked to Kelce a couple of weeks ago, I asked about that, the idea of becoming fully comfortable in Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah.
Because once you have mastered it, you can do things. He even said in this clip in the presser today that he almost said you want to learn the rules to break the rules. And he said, well, I don't want to, you know, you can tinker, you can bend the rules. There aren't as many, I think he said, paper lines. I've never heard that phrase before. Start using it.
Not as many paper lines, there are more rules.
Right.
Which is interesting because the more rules would sound more specific and more of less sort of freelancing.
Think about it as like rules in math, like a lot. Like there, I think Andy Reid's offense.
I'm not going to do that.
I think Andy Reid, you're good with the numbers. I think Andy Reid's offense has a logic to it. Mm-hmm. And when you understand the logic, you can begin adjusting with it as you go. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have a master's degree in Andy Reid's offense. If you're Sky Moore or MVS or Juju, you're trying to get your bachelor's right now. But if you can
trying to get your associates,
that's true. You're trying to get your GED right now. You got to get your GED in Andy Reid's offense. I feel like I'm in Andy Reid's like maybe second grade. You know, like I know my alphabet a little bit, but that might be the extent of it because you know Andy Reid's not teaching me.
I'm in Andy Reid's pre-K, and it's costing $1,200 a month.
It is a special school for sure. But yeah, I found that very interesting because it just immediately to me connected to all these other times where anytime you can get a guy like Kelce juxtaposed with a new guy talking about Andy Reid's offense, Kelce talks about it like it's a gift. Like, hey, you step in and you're going to be maximized in Andy Reid's offense. I think a lot of rookies come in and go, holy bleep, whoa, I didn't learn. Sky Moore didn't learn this at Western Michigan. You know, there's a learning curve, but I can see how it benefits everybody. And I love it whenever Travis Kelce gives us another little glimpse on Andy Reid's offense.
So the good and the bad, the pros and the cons of the being able to create on the fly. You mentioned after that Houston Texans divisional round game where the great comeback and one of the best feelings of watching Chiefs football in a long time heading into that Titans AFC championship game, which we know what happened in that one, and then the 49ers Super Bowl, and then winning the whole thing. The next year when, you know, the run it back tour, when they win all of those games, the starters are, what, 14-1 and then end up losing in the Super Bowl. So the starters go 16-2 that year overall in games. One of those losses was the Raiders. The other one was the Bucks. And the Raiders game, when Mahomes had the interception that resulted in the return down to the one-yard line, Josh Jacobs' one-yard touchdown. And that was kind of the game at that point for the Chiefs. And Kelce, because it was during COVID at that time, there was no post-game press conference with Kelce. And then it wasn't for another couple of weeks that Kelce talked with the media. And then he went back to that play and talked about how mad he was and that he cost him the game because that interception was his fault. And nobody really asked him about it because we didn't know. You know, right. He had talked about it from some other question and said that, you know, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He read it one way, and even though he read it the way, he still changed it on his own, going against what would be typical of what he was supposed to do there. And going back and watching that, I think it was pretty obvious he was supposed to go underneath the linebacker, which would then draw the safety over towards him. Instead, he went over the linebacker, which then flattened made the route more up the field, which then attracted the safety over in that area, and then he was able to intercept the ball as opposed to being out of the area covering Travis Kelce. That's the drawback to where you can kind of ad-lib on your own, and he decided to go off script there, and when the interception happened, you can go back and look at the video, like Kelce's so mad at himself.
Yeah.
You know, because he knew it immediately that was his fault, that he was not supposed to be there. Maybe it was just a, you know, brain cramp at that time. But those are the things to where, obviously, more good than bad, I would expect, have happened over the years. That how many guys with the offense right now, Juju, MVS, Clyde, are going to feel the confidence of, I know I'm supposed to run this way, but the way I'm reading it here, I'm going to ad-lib underneath, and Mahomes is going to see that too,
right?
Because we've been working together, And that's one of the things that he talked about, is just trying to get in sync the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, the work they're putting in doing that. That's a big part of it, because you do have some flexibility in Andy Reid's offense, and that is a part of being on the same page with Patrick Mahomes. Kelce and Mahomes seem to be in concert. Tyreek and Mahomes had that.
Yes.
Are the other guys going to have that? How quickly do they have that? That's going to be a big question.
I think that's the exact sliding scale, because, if you take Kelce talking about it in light of the new guys, if you're Sky Moore or Juju or MVS, one of the new guys, you could just come in and be the receiver who is slotted into what Andy Reid wants you to do, and you're going to get a nice contract next offseason if you can just simply do that. Like, just be the guy executing Andy Reid's plan, and you will have a long NFL career with millions of dollars at the end of it. But if you graduate to those higher levels in this class, and this is the logic for me of why I entered training camp being the guy that's saying, hey, pump the brakes on Sky Moore, but buy his stock for the long term, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, maybe by now, I guess. I don't know. I don't regret my hesitance, because I feel like I'm just trying to be fair to Sky Moore, but it seems like the hype train is chugga-chugga. I think that sliding scale of you can be successful as a cog immediately, you could become a Hall of Famer once you feel this offense. That I think you're 100% right. Kelce and Hill are those guys. Frankly, I don't know that DeMarcus Robinson or Byron Pringle ever became one of those guys, despite being in the offense for quite a while. So it's not an assured thing. It's just another thing that I think makes Travis Kelce obviously special.
Yeah, and also Carlophagus.
It rhymes with esophagus. Most people don't know that.
Or Snuffleupagus.
Wow. Can we call him
esophagus Snuffleupagus?
I don't want to. I'm not here to make fun of anybody's name, so I don't mean it as that. But if we start calling him George Karloftis the Snuffleupagus, or just George Snuffleupagus, I would really enjoy
that.
You're like a big woolly mammoth at the edge. That's a compliment. Like, I think that
that's right.
If he leans into that branding, I want to help support it.
It's a lot of love for Karloftis on the defensive line and the defensive players overall. Frank Clark loved up some George Karloftis, and then Mike Dana today talking about George Karloftis, that quote, he brings the young dog out in me.
A lot of dog talk today.
Boy, there's some dog.
This pass rush needs some woofing.
Karloftis is a dog. That's what we've heard. And then I enjoyed hearing from Elijah Lee as well. That guy, you want to talk about living out a dream of like every elementary and junior high and high school kid in the area, that him talking about, you know, watching Jamal Charles and Derek Johnson, and then he was a towel boy when he was in St. Joe for training camp, and seeing Tomba and Justin Houston and giving them towels as, you know, they were sweating, and went to high school with Neil Smith's son and all of that stuff, that, you know, living out that dream of like people like you remember watching your you know, favorite football players for your team, and then now he's wearing that Chiefs uniform, which is awesome.
Really
and
cool.
Then talking about the mental health aspect of it, that I didn't realize that, you know, his upbringing, and talking about going to 15 different schools.
Crazy.
And now embracing the mental health aspect of that, and talking about those things in his press conference. So I enjoyed that as well. I hope he makes the team. The linebacking core is certainly different, and Jermaine Carter's a part of that. They draft Leo Chenal. Demetrius Harris is returning. We know about Willie Gay and Nick Bolton. Then throw in Elijah Lee.
There's
so
no way Demetrius
players.
Harris is returning. I don't know who you even meant to say, but there's no way Demetrius Harris is on this team, right? If I missed that signing, I apologize. That's one of the funniest names you could have mentioned.
Definitely not Demetrius Harris. But, well, what's his name?
I'm sorry. Are you still on the linebackers again?
Yes.
Now I'm going to be the bleep hole, because I forget the name briefly of
Jermaine Carter.
Carter. I wanted to call him Jermaine Johnson, and that's also a different
Jermaine
person.
O'Neal.
Boy, the two of us maybe combined will get someone's
Jermaine
first
Harris.
Name.
Jermaine Harris. There it is. Jermaine. I'm joking. is it Darius Harris, linebacker?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a total like Freudian Demetrius Harris writing that down.
Sorry,
in the linebacker.
Darius Harris is still there. I thought you were trying to get to Jermaine Carter.
No. Jermaine Carter, Leo Chenal, Elijah Lee brought in. Darius Harris, not Demetrius Harris, returning along with Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. So you've got six guys there.
Demetrius Harris.
Is he playing linebacker now?
Currently a free agent, it appears.
Oh, well, the team needs a linebacker, apparently. He can do that too.
Count on him to pick anything off from the middle.
Damn it. That's where I was going.
You got
it.
Me like three times last week. I gotta level this out. I gotta even out the score here.
Man.
Obvious jokes.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That's a secret to life. That's what I've always said, is always talk behind someone's back, never actually approach them, and get to the heart of the issue.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I love the text to come in as saying Demetrius Harris instead of Darius Harris. Text says, Jason, you mean to say Darius Rucker. That's right. Another text says, damn it, Jason, it's Devon. Great throwback. Great callback there. Great callback. Another text says, incomplete Trius Harris. Wasn't it incomplete or drop Trius Harris? Or
no, I think
like
I think incomplete Trius is the best one. I think that's my favorite. It's not quite as good as Jason and Siderson, but
yeah, we need to drop that one.
Oh, okay.
Just like Demetrius Harris.
Hey, he's back.
Beat you to it.
Jason's here, everybody.
Yeah,
it's the Zone.
Darius Harris, not Darius Rucker. Hey, we've got
Darius Harris made me cry.
No, that was
Demetrius
Harris.
Damn it!
And it was the Dolphins.
I screwed it up.
Let her cry.
Now I'm really
tears flow down like rain.
Now I'm really coming for your throne. I got a name wrong on a joke.
That's right. The WHB 100 year celebration coming up August 11th at the Midland Theater. That is a Thursday. That is a week from Thursday. And we've got a pair of tickets to give away for what is going to be an awesome night celebrating sports and entertainment and broadcasting. We'll all be there, and St. John and Dustin Colquitt are hosts for the evening. They'll be emceeing and different things on stage with the on-air staff, other performances various times throughout the night, and giving away scholarship, raising money for some incredible charities, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Victory Project, ALS Association of Kansas City, and Sharewaves. Let's do caller number 8, 913-810-810. Caller number 8, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the WHB 100 year celebration.
Don't drop it.